revelation. Yes, he was promised to be a king by God sometime in the future. But remember that Israel already had a king, and Saul, and Saul did not like him. And God did not give David a full revelation, a clear timeline, or a roadmap that what time and how David is going to be a king. And at this point, when we come to chapter 27 here, David has been on the run for 8 years. It's a long time. And worse yet, in his own human eyes, he could not see any apparent light at the end of the tunnel here. He apparently had gone through a lot. And David was able to persevere and maintain strong faith in God. And we read many psalms that he wrote when he was on the run. He was able to praise the Lord in his very difficult times. And you could see that he was able to overcome his doubt and fear by turning to the Lord in all occasions. And his strong faith was evident that the two encounters that he had with Saul before this incident, that he had the chance to kill Saul, but he refused to do so because of his fear, his fear in God and his trusting in God that God would be the judge. God is just, so he would not take things into his own hands. And before this chapter, in chapter 26, he would just spare Saul one more time. And his strong faith had earned praise from King Saul, the person who really wanted to kill him, that in chapter 24, King Saul said, "You are a more righteous man than I am." So to earn praise from your enemy is not a simple matter. But for some reasons, David, the righteous man, the man who was after God's own heart, for the first time here, he was overcome by doubt and fear. But you see also here that this is the first time that David has left God out of his consideration, from his thinking process. Because in chapter 27 he says, "But David thought to himself." See, when David thought to himself, and as we read on here, one thing is missing, one person is missing. God is not in his thinking process. God is not involved here. And it is very out of his character, because we know that David is a man after God's own heart, that he was known to cry out to God in all occasions, regardless of the difficulties and trials that he was undergoing through. It's evident in all the many psalms that we read. But not this time. This time, he did not turn to God. And we also, I just want to refresh a little bit. Having doubt is not uncommon in our walk of faith. However, it's very important that we need to confront our doubt by turning to the Lord and not try to encounter with our own might. See, in this case, when God is missing in his thought process, you could see that things are turning in a downward spiral for David very quickly. So one thing I want to share with you is that doubt, when left unresolved, will lead to us to foolish thoughts. It will demoralize you and deceive you. When doubt left unresolved, it could erode our trust in God, as in David's case. We will start questioning God's character. Is he truly merciful and loving? Is he truly sovereign over all circumstances? Why do I have to go through what I'm going through right now? We may start to lose confidence in his word. Yes, he made some promises, but are those promises truly for me? And does he truly listen to my prayer when I cry out to him? So instead of trusting in God and his word, we may start to seek counsel from somewhere and somewhere else. And people today may go to the internet really quickly, or we may call a friend, or even we just consult ourselves and talk to ourselves. Like in this case, David, he's seeking counsel to himself as he is thinking to himself. Now, when we are thinking to ourselves and not turning to the Lord, we are in risk of allowing deception to overtake us and lead us to foolish thoughts. You can see here that David is, he's not overly questioning God and say, God, where are you when I needed you? You know what? It's actually better that you question God that way. And David used to do that quite a lot in his Psalms, because when you question God that way, that means that you are acknowledging his presence. You are acknowledging his sovereignty. A profound danger of doubt, it is that it subtly pushes God out of your mind. It pushes you to try to think to yourself. Like David in this case, he was thinking to himself, and he did not ask God for affirmation. And you know what? Thoughts without consulting God, any thinking without consulting God, by nature, could be foolish thoughts. Why do I say that? Because for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So without the fear of the Lord, there's no wisdom. And in this case, David's foolish thought is that one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. Now, when we take God out of the equation, when we don't turn to God, we don't set our eyes on God, we naturally set our eyes on our circumstances, and our personal logic is going to come into place. When David set his eyes on the circumstances, this is what he sees. He's been running for almost 8 years. He's been surviving here and there, but then he starts to wonder, how long can I keep running like this? I may not get lucky every single time. And besides, Saul is the king of Israel, and everyone in Israel recognized David. So where can you hide from him? Sooner or later, he's going to run into Saul again. So he comes with his human thought, he comes to his logical conclusion. In chapter 27, verse 1, the second half, he said, the best thing I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hand. See, it seems to be a quite logical conclusion, but it is a foolish thought. You see, foolish thoughts lead you to a foolish conclusion. It is a foolish thought because he forgot about God's promise that one day he's going to be the king. He's not going to die. It's a foolish thought because he forgot how God had been with him every single time when he was in danger and had protected him. And he forgot that God allowed him to go through all these trials to help him, to shape him, to strengthen him, as he had written before in his Psalms. And of course, it is a foolish thought because he had left God out of his thinking process. And the Bible reminds us that trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, we should trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not with our own understanding, because when we lean on our own understanding, we are consulting our own heart, which is by nature fallen. Our heart is very capable of full of many deceptive thoughts, because as we are limited by our ability and we are driven by our circumstances, many of us could have many opportunities, experiences, different doubts. Last time I shared about it, but it's very common today, that a faithful Christian girl, that you might try to hold on to your principle, and that you're not going to date hastily, and more importantly, you do not want to date an unchristian. then they start to get anxious that every weekend you're home by yourself, and in the meantime, the people that you had known, that either they're already married or they are not Christians. Then, using your whole human logic, you can say, I'm not young anymore, so one of these days, I will become an overage bachelor or bachelorette. But without trusting in God, a faithful, upright Christian accountant who is constantly being picked on by his boss for his refusing to cook the book, he might start to worry. He might say that if I continue to hold out my value, one of these days I will be fired. I'll be out of job, I'll lose my mortgage, I will not be able to send my kids to college. Without trusting in God, the faithful college student who refuse to join the drinking party or the binging party, whatever you want to call it, being left out, sitting in the dorm by yourself every weekend. And you may start to wonder and say, one of these days, I'm going to be spending my lonely life and being left rotten in this dorm and would not be able to make any friends who happens to be very important the rest of my life or for my career. Then what should I do? You see, these corrupt thoughts will slowly but surely eat us up. It will drive us to think that we need to do something about it to change our circumstances. So doubt, when left unresolved, will lead us to foolish actions and will defile us. See, without turning to the Lord, David was consumed by his doubt and he started to lose his mind. He said, he's talking to himself that I could save myself by escaping to the land of the Philistines. And driven by this foolish logic, David went over, verse 2, chapter 27, verse 2. David went over to Achish, son of Maoch, king of Gath. Then David said to Achish, if I have found favor in your eyes, let a place be assigned to me in one of the country towns. Then I may live there. Why should your servant live in the royal city with you? You see clearly. What is he doing here? Why would the king of Israel, the future king of Israel, would go and try to find refuge from the king of Philistines, which is a enemy ordained by God to Israel? Foolish thoughts lead to foolish actions. The Bible has warned us, there's a way that seems right to the man, but its end is the way to death. Let me repeat. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. And that's why, again, it's so important that we must trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not our own understanding. See what he's saying here. If I have found favor in your eyes, he's begging. Asking for favor, begging Achish, the king of a Philistine king, like a servant asking favor from his master. And look at how the servant was begging for a place to live. Why should your servant live in the royal city with you? And how low could he get now? It's ironic and absurd. And he must be out of his mind. He forgot, by this time I'm sure that he forgot that all the places he wrote about, he proclaimed the mighty God that would be his only great refuge and his source of strength and his God will provide. Because now he's going to King Achish for provision, for protection. He forgot that Philistines were not only Saul's enemy. The Philistines were enemy of Israel. And the Philistines were enemy of God. And he forgot that his fame, that the reason he became a national hero, because he killed Goliath. And you know what? Gath is the hometown of Goliath. And most importantly, he forgot how God has been protecting him. And he forgot that in his previous experience, that he actually been in Gath before, I don't know if you remember. He was in the earlier, he was in chapter 21, that he was actually in Gath before, when he was freed from Saul, and he was recognized by the Philistines. That he had the faith to be like an insane person, that he had to allow the saliva running down through his breath so he could save himself from King Achish. With a situation like that, you could imagine that David would promise himself that I'll never allow this situation to happen to me again. How humiliating. The future king to have to pretend as an insane person, allow the saliva dripping down to the beard. What is he thinking? A man chosen by God, ordained to lead a holy nation, to glorify God, is now begging for favor from God's enemy, from someone that God despised. Can you imagine that? As a Christian, chosen by God to glorify Him, to witness His glory, and on a daily walk, that we go to the world and beg for mercy? It reminds us that some of the people who have fallen to the temptation that on a Sunday we come in here to worship God, to sing praise to Him. We tell Him that you are stronger, you are stronger. It is risen, it is written that you are risen, that you have saved the world, you are Lord of all. And after that, why haven't we gathered the church? And tomorrow, we are overcome by the fear and doubt that we go back to the world, we go to our ungodly boss, and we talk to them and say, if I have found favor in your eyes, can you give me a project that I could make more money, a better chance for promotion, so that I could buy a bigger house? When we are overcome by doubt, we are not thinking properly. And foolish thoughts will bring us to foolish actions. Now again, and David also shows us that without turning to God, with a prolonged absence from God, we'll lose our identity. And David had lost his identity. He's so out of place, living in Philistine, and he was so ignorant about it. In chapter 28, let's see what is going on here. In chapter 28, in those days the Philistines gathered their forces to fight against Israel. Achish said to David, you must understand that you and I, you and your men will accompany me in the army. You see, there's a price to pay when you serve God's enemy. That you and your men will accompany me in the army. And David said, then you will see for yourself what your servant can do. Achish replied, very well, I will make you a bodyguard for life. Achish will make him bodyguard for life. Isn't it absurd? David, by now, probably forgot that he was once Saul's armor bearer. Saul's armor bearer. And Saul's armor was used not just to protect himself. Saul's armor is used to defend Israel and was used to fight Philistines. Now he is the bodyguard to a Philistine king. And he forgot that he was the man whom the Philistines would fear so much. That Saul had slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And now he's the most trusted comrade of Israel's enemy. Bodyguard to the king, to a Philistine king. Now one thing that I think we should bear in mind, that there's a sign of when we are on the wrong path, is when we have lost our identity as a Christian. We have lost our identity as children of God. When our praises and recognitions are coming from not by our upholding of God's value, not by upholding God's teachings, but by conforming to the pattern of this world. When we do that, we have to be mindful. When we are earning our praises, our recognitions, Because by our conforming to the pattern of the world, we have to be careful that we might have lost our identity as children of God already. Now, next point is, when doubt left unresolved would lead to serious consequence, and no doubt about it, we should pay attention to the very destructive power of sin when we drift away from God. See, without turning to God, sin will suck you in and drag you deeper because it provides temporary relief and pleasures. Look at Balak's case. Again, we go back to chapter 27. When Saul was told that David had fled to Gath, he no longer served for him. See, it worked. The human logic will provide a short-term solution real quickly because it's driven by the circumstances. It provides you relief and pleasures immediately. David no longer had to run for his life. He and his people no longer have to run around like dogs. And secondly, sin brings acceptance from the world and false prosperity. Chapter 27, verse 5 to 6. So on that day, Achish gave him Ziklag. See, Achish is no longer hostile to David. Instead, he's a buddy now. And he even gave David a gift, a town, Ziklag. He got a bonus for being loyal to Achish. Well, it may not be a big deal, considering the tiny size of and the lack of resources in the town, but you've got to understand, it's a gesture of appreciation and acceptance for his service. It's a very important for somebody who feels lonely and rejected by the world. Just like the college student, you go to the campus, you're being left out because of your Christian value, because you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't take drugs, you don't party, and now all of a sudden, everyone is inviting you to the outings, every hangout place. They invite you to the Starbucks, the Cups, wherever, and your Facebook is all of a sudden exploded with all these friendly postings and likes, right? And look like, wow, I feel good. And break, you can see. And also it brings confidence, stability to life, as evident in David's case in verse 6 to 9. See, after years of living in the caves and hiding out in the wilderness, David finally had a chance to find a place to call home. Now it's very important for a man that now I'm a provider. I have a place my wife could decorate. I could call it home. My kids could play in there. You could unpack and settle down. The people are following them. Now they have a community. We all are longing for community. Now they have a community. The children could come and play. When the adults can talk about their life, it's very nice. And also it brings growing popularity. And in the other side, in the other book, in the First Chronicles, you could tell that a lot of people in this time, when they heard about David's stability, when they heard about David's success, some people from Saul actually defected from Saul and joined him, and joined his army. So imagine that, going back to our real life here, thinking about that upright accountant who was struggling to hold on to his job, who fight poverty because he tried to be faithful to his job and faithful to the teaching of God. And now all of a sudden, because he's willing to relax a little bit on his convictions and go with the flow, he's rewarded with a promotion. He no longer has the fear to be fired. He got a big salary increase and a big fat bonuses. It's good that he's able to buy his own house, shopping, his wife is shopping in the markets or Shaw Hills Mall. He can go on a cruise or vacation. And he could send his kids to private school. How wonderful. And that's why it's a danger of promising or making compromise in a Christian value. It is very hard for us to turn back on our own. It's very hard. Something we read it thousand years from now, we notice something is very wrong here. Amidst of David's prosperity. God is missing. God's not mentioned in the three, in these two chapters, three chapters, for 16 months in David's life. David, God is shut out from his life when he's enjoying his success and pleasures. But finally, it will be very important, without turning to the Lord, sins with feet on itself, because, again, the very destructive nature of sin. Chapter 27, verse 7 to 12. Now, I hope I have it here. You can read it on your own. Because every sin comes to destructive kinds because it pushes to a deeper entanglement. Now, apparently, Ziklag is not a major town, otherwise Achish would not be so generous giving to him. It's a small town that you can settle down, but there's not much resource. It can't support 600 families. So what do we have to do now? So we have to find a way to make a living. But now, once your thought is being corrupted, you could do things that you normally would not do. And look at what he's doing right now. He goes around and raids the towns in the south. He's living a life like a bandit. How low can you get now? The person anointed the king of Israel now is living like a bandit. He would just, in the morning, he would tell the kids that you have a good time here, dad's going to work now, I'll be home. I'll bring you something. They would never tell the kids what they're doing. They'd be too ashamed to tell them. Because this God, he'll go at night, he'll still go rob and kill. And then he'll just come home, just like a normal day, and put food on the table. And this is the prosperity, the comfort that he's living in. Now, we all know that when he goes to the south, I know that some people would argue that, wait a minute, he's not doing anything wrong because he's raiding this town, this people, the people he's killing are the Canaanites, the people that God hates. And this is danger too. When we're drifting away from God, we try to justify our actions. You see how David so calculated that he carefully not to disturb the friendly town, the Israel, the people friendly to Israel. He would lie to Achish that I'm raiding them, but in fact he's raiding the other side of Negev, which are the Canaanites. So deep down he might think that I'm doing it okay because God hates them anyway. But look, God never told you to rob them. When you kill the people because you want to conceal the secret that you are raiding them, but you're not killing the cattle, you're not killing the donkeys, you're not killing the camels. You are robbing them. He's out of his mind, and he's out of character. His integrity is totally corrupted, not only his identity. And then to cover up, he had to lie. He had to lie to Achish. So without turning to the Lord, you can see how David is changing in his other person. From simply being a defector of God, he ended up to be a bandit, he's a liar, he's a murderer. And how low can you get? Now, the one thing that we also want to pay attention is, without turning to the Lord, sin brings devastating consequences, and ultimately will consume you. God has warned us that you may be sure that your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out. David already found an awkward situation in chapter 29 when the Philistines was ready to enter in the war against Israel. They gathered the force at Aphek, and Israel come by the spring in Jezreel. Now, can you imagine this? Remember that David was reminded by Achish that when you go to the warfare, you have to accompany me to fight against Israel. Now he has to pay back. Can you imagine? If he doesn't do that, he'll get killed immediately by Achish. But he doesn't do it? If he complies and he would go along and start killing Israelites, then forget about it. Who will never become king of Israel. And how could you kill your own people? So he was definitely caught between a rock and a hard place here. Now, second, but God came to intervene and help out. Verse 3, chapter 29. When the Philistines questioned him and said, what about these Hebrews? What about David, the man who had killed tens of thousands? What are they doing here? So he got bailed out by the question of the Philistine king. But one thing that we also want to learn from here is another sign that when we know that we are on the wrong path is when we are being questioned for our presence, when we are out of place. Why are you, when you are being questioned, you are a Christian, why are you at this drinking joint? If you are a Christian, what are you doing in this casino here? If you are a Christian, why are you here? We have to remind us that when we are struggling with doubt and daily walk, constantly remind us that, can we lift up everything we do wherever we go? Can we say a prayer before we do? People think that saying grace before meal is trivial. It's important. Can you say grace every single time you do anything? Because that will ensure that you know that you are not in the wrong place. You are not out of place. Now, anyway, I know that I'm running out of time. Let's move on here. He got bailed out, so when we go back to his town in Ziklag in chapter 30. Now, something happened here now. And verse 1 and 2. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and all who were in it, both young and old. See, what goes around comes around. David was raiding the neighborhood town, including the Amalekites. Now, he's on the receiving end. He should realize the pain and suffering being raided. Verse 4, David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. I don't know whether you have experienced this. When your weeps go aloud until you have no strength left to weep. I have been through that. I know how that feels. You got to be in a very, very, very distressed situation. This must be the lowest point of David's life. Lower, but it's not worse yet. The worst is to happen. Verse 6, his own people, the people who've been following him loyally, want to stone him. David's been through a lot, but this got to be the lowest point of his life. Lower than when he hid in the cave, lower than the time when he had to struggle with poverty. Lower than the time they had to, that he was experiencing starvation. Lower than the time they had to go around and pretend he was an insane person. Because you don't even have the last integrity from the very people trusting in you. It's like a person that we are not being honored by our own family. How low can you get? And this is the consequence. One thing we have to know. God is gracious. But God's grace does not mean that He will protect us from the consequence of sin. The Christian girl who wants to loosen up and go around and date more people, you might end up marrying the wrong guy. The guy who doesn't even believe in Christ. You will have a lot of problems the remaining of your life. And I remember that a college kid in the West Coast, I'm sure you read that article, he was visiting some friends. But then he got himself caught in the middle of a drug raid. I don't know if you read the article. His friend has got a lot of drugs stored in the apartment. During the drug raid, he got arrested. He had no part to do with it, but he was there. He got arrested, left in the jail cell for the weekend. He had to drink his own urine to survive. Sin will find you out when you are compromised. We have to be very careful. When we sin and on our own thoughts to please our own flesh, we lose our respect, we lose our dignity, and we got to remember every pleasure and reward that we gain from sinning against God is short-lived. When David moved to Ziklag, he probably thought, this is great. It's great for our own town, a place to call home, and what more could I ask for? But everything is fleeting. Only with the Lord are there solid joys and lasting pleasures. And one way that we should remind us that, what we remind ourselves, we earn respect and dignity only through our integrity and our boldness in living out our Christian faith. That's a concept I keep reminding myself. I would like to share with you. I believe that we earn respect and dignity only through our integrity and our boldness in living out our Christian faith. And finally, as I shared last time, God is the only and ultimate solution to our doubt. Chapter 30, a very short passage. When verse 6, David found strength in the Lord. Also, after 60 months, David remembered the Lord now. He found strength in the Lord at the lowest point in his life. Now, how did he find strength in the Lord? I think we can tell by verse 7. He went to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech. He said, "Bring me the ephod." Now, ephod is a garment, this piece of garment is part of the priesthood ordinance. So when you ask for the ephod, that means that they would remember that this priesthood ordained to them by God, that you could go to him and pray to him and ask for forgiveness. That's when David repented his sins. When he asked for this ephod, he repented his sins, he found forgiveness, he found his strength, and he asked for directions. He asked for directions and said, "What should I do now? Should I pursue?" You see, he lost his family, his loved ones, but children and wives. But before he would go on the pursuit, he would ask God and say, "Do you want me to go?" You see how now all of a sudden he put his senses together now. He knows who is in control. God, you want me to go? I go. You want me not to go? I do not go. And God answered. And he followed. And the rest of history, we know that David would move on to be king of Israel. So what have you learned? I would say, again, go back to the title of my message. I would like really to share is, we got to beware of the danger of doubt. Now, for those of you, or those of us, who had never had struggled with doubts, good for you. But remember, neither did David until this episode. So don't be too complacent and stay alert. And past victories are no guarantees to future success. And we must constantly stay alert and beware of complacency. Paul warned us, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. If David, a man who was after God's own heart, would encounter doubt and overcome by doubt, so would you and I. And for those of us who are struggling with doubt, remember, doubt is not uncommon. Therefore, don't be too ashamed to talk about it. Turn to the Lord when you are struggling with doubt. We must turn to the Lord and don't rely on our strength, because the Bible has warned us that we must trust in the Lord and not lean on our own understanding. If David, a man who is after God's own heart, could fail because he relied on his own heart, and so could you and I. So we must trust in the Lord. The only way to deal with our doubt effectively is to go to the Lord and seek for His presence. See, God doesn't change. So however He has protected you, been with you before, He's going to be here with you and in the future to continue to walk with you. So in our doubt, we should look for God's presence in our past struggles. And trusting the Lord and seeking His promises according to His word. Because God cannot lie and He will not lie. If you're struggling with loneliness, you can find comfort in God's promise. God said, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I am your exceedingly great reward." You face rejection because of your Christian value. You may find comfort in God's promise. He said, "Blessed are you when people hate you, exclude you, insult you, and reject you because of the Son of Man." If you are struggling with financial difficulties or other weaknesses, remember God promised you that "My grace is sufficient for you." If you're going through a hardship and you don't understand why it's happening to you, why you have to go through this, remember, in all things, that God works with those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And for those that who are already weakened by your doubt, and you are probably in the path away from God, remember, sin will find you out. Any reliefs and pleasures are temporary and short-lived, and simply suck you in a deeper hole. And remember that God does allow U-turns, like David. Turn back to God and confess your sins. God is faithful and will forgive you. If you ask directions, He will continue to guide you. Trust in the Lord when you're struggling with doubt. Trust in the Lord even though when you don't understand, because faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Even though you don't understand what's going on, we have to hold on to God and trust in Him, because this is a paradox. The best way to encounter, to fight the doubt in our faith is by faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for giving us your word, giving us the nation of Israel, giving us this people that you have chosen in the past, that through their lives that you talk to us, that you reveal your characters. You also reveal our sinfulness, our limit in our fallen nature, that we should not rely on our own strength, that we must turn to you every single time that we run into difficulties. We thank you for your faithfulness, for your God that will never forsake us. Even though we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but you know that there will be an end. We know that you will be there waiting for us. And most importantly, we know that Jesus Christ is walking with us through and through. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's holy name, I pray. Amen.